Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Beats Research Radio. My name is Janice Fitzy. I'm a student in Biopharmaceutical Sciences at the University of Ottawa, and I'm back as your host for this episode. Today, we're joined by Dan Pack. Dan is a fun and highly motivating member of the Ottawa running community. He's known for his countdown to race weekends and words of encouragement throughout the whole community. After an unexpected atrial fibrillation diagnosis, he started his blog where he decided to share his experiences, his progress with the whole world. Dan's journey is super inspiring and really interesting, and we're so lucky to have him today. Welcome, Dan. Thank you so much for being here.
That's quite the pedestal you put me on that particular intro. Thank you.
No pressure.
For sure. No, glad to be here. Hope I can provide some of your listening audience some insight into my story.
Yeah, so you do have a really interesting journey. I think we should start, maybe you could tell us about like your diagnosis, how everything kind of went down, and what happened to start sure. with.
Yeah, no, as you said, I did start writing a blog. I think it was one of those moments in time when I was going to keep it like under wraps. I didn't really want people to know, to think something was going on, something changed, you know, why isn't he coming out? But I think it all started back in May of 2018 when I was diagnosed with hypertension. I had previously been diagnosed before a few years back, and I had taken up running in order to, you know, stay fit, bring down my blood pressure, but, you know, part of genetics and my hereditary background, it seemed like it was inevitable that I would have to go on medication. But then after taking one pill, amlodipine, I had to resort to taking another one, which was another basic hypertension med to reduce my blood pressure. And then I think once I was diagnosed, on the follow-up point with my GP, Dr. Cohen, he decided that it was something wasn't quite right. So he decided to send me over to the Heart Institute to, in his terms, he called it, have some fun with the stress test. And I'm like, and at the time I had no idea. He just said it was just a treadmill test. And I'm like, okay, it seemed to be straightforward. And basically about somewhere in between 7 minutes or so, that's when basically the tech, Bonnie, decided to take me off because she saw something with all the electrodes attached to my body. She saw on the ECG that my heart was going into some sort of flutter or atrial fibrillation. And she asked me, if I knew what that was. And I had no clue. I didn't know if it was good or bad. But she says, no, I think I'm going to just take you off because my blood pressure was going higher. The medication wasn't doing anything any better. So that's when she pulled me off. And even when I was just basically lying down on the table beside the treadmill, she thought, wow, you're still in AFib. And I'm like, is that good or bad? And at the time, she said, okay, I'm just going to go get the doctor to follow up with you because it's something they should see. So, you know, I saw a doctor, Dr. Beanlands, and he brought one of his fellows in or interns to follow up with me. And basically, it was kind of like literally heart stopping when they told me like I had to stop because I was actually putting my heart in distress, basically. Mm-hmm. And she said that if I don't stop, I could have a stroke. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second here. You're saying that because I do all this running and all these endurance activities that I can actually have a stroke. And I couldn't fathom what that really meant. So that was a real blow to not only to my ego, but it was just a blow just to the events that I do and participate in. And it was really humbling to kind of like actually come down and actually admit that there is something wrong. And I had to actually go on to more medication because I had zero of the symptoms that they were describing me. You know, I didn't feel any sort of lightheaded, faint or anything like that. And basically, you know, near the end of June, I had to almost like plea bargain with them a bit to let me walk the Canada Day road race because I said, I can't let, you know, myself down because I wanted to do something. But, you know, in retrospect, I look back, you know, there's a high humidity, humidex factor. That's not really good for people with heart conditions to kind of go out and do anything overexerting. And I'm thinking, I'm not even 50 yet. I don't feel like I should be limited in my ability. You know, I thought this particular having an AFib diagnosis was meant for like older people, because that's what they told me. This was kind of something you should see when you get older. And they were very shocked that they were seeing that in me. You know, they were just asking me so many questions, and I'm like, no, there's really no history of any sort of heart disease in my family or dying of anything that was that way, other than the hypertension, you know, old age stuff that they most people have when they normally get older. But for me, this was just kind of weird. And she thought that because of my fitness level, it was just kind of masking a lot of my symptoms. But yeah, when my heart rate was racing to, you know, around the 200s, and it was just kind of a little bit alarming for me to get that diagnosis. So yeah, so I literally had to stop. And basically in October 2018, I did my last race. And that point on, I just waited until I got the surgery date for my ablation, which was December of the same year, 2018, on December 6th. So that's kind of my heart-iversary, as I call it, to start again, or to kind of restart myself in a way.
Yeah, yeah, so you mentioned like you were a runner before, you were very active, you know, like who would have thought that, you know, being so active could cause like further problems. Like you said, it could have caused a stroke, which, you know, you think, oh, I'm running, you know, my heart is good, I'm an athlete, like how could anything be wrong with my heart if I'm not feeling anything, right? That's
absolutely, I was kind of crazy. I was taken aback by that that assessment for sure. And you know, part of doing some sort of risk mitigation to take medication to allow me to proceed, which was fine. But it almost seemed like to me, when I was doing that last race, I set my Garmin watch to kind of alert me if my heart rate would race too high. And whenever people would run with me, it's like, is that your watch? It's like, yes, I have to slow down again because I'm having another episode. And so if I don't walk it out, it's just going to keep racing. And there's just no way any of the medication could actually, like, you know, stop my AFib from coming back. And that was really a hard thing to kind of digest for me, is to literally slow down. Because basically, you know, hearing that at the diagnosis to slow down, it didn't impact me until I started, you know, trying to get back into it with the medications I was on. And it was definitely tricky for sure to try and keep going.
I want to know, like, how did all of this affect the athlete that you are today? Because, you know, like, being an athlete myself, I know that it kind of defines you. So I feel like it's probably switched everything all around for you.
It has. Like, basically, I thought, you know, turning, you know, from 2018 to 2019, I could start a brand new year. But I had to be reminded by my cardiac rehab, Guyanne, saying, okay, you have to remember, you're still in healing mode. You can't just like put an ointment on your heart to kind of heal what they've done during the ablation process. It's not like you can put a band-aid on it and, you know, walk away and, you know, polysporin is good and then you're good to go. But so I had to wait. I tried to return to some of my activities, trying to do some stuff at Orange Theory, do some high intensity interval training. And that's like, no, my heart's still doing some flip-floppy things, and I'm not quite ready for that. So the coaches would even at the studio say, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I just have to stop, pause, let my heart rate. I'm trying to listen to the guidance by my cardiac PTs and try to follow that. But, you know, it took me about 6 months to realize that if I don't slow down my heart, I could be doing more damage to my heart, basically. And I'm not letting it heal properly. So I had to be patient. So learning how to be patient is not an easy thing for a runner to do, or just any athlete, you know, when they're coming back from an injury. It's almost impossible to say, you're just going to have to stop. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way I can stop. So yeah, it's very humbling again to try and change my tune and kind of refocus on what I needed to do to, you know, prolong and do something long term. And you know, my outlook on running in general is now I just go out and enjoy it. I've told people before, I'm not the runner that I used to be. I don't chase those endurance goals. I like the challenge of running and running with my friends and cheering them on. I'm a huge volunteer and supporter these days with the Run Ottawa community. And I think it's kind of frowned upon. So now I just, you know, I'll hop on my bike and I'll chase some of those runners down and I'll actually take photos of them, because during the last year, there hasn't been any live racing events. So I'm kind of like the live event race photographer going from point to point to kind of give them that race-like experience. And it's really different. So it's kind of a different outtake. I'm focused on helping people achieve their goals. If it's something they still want to chase, for me, it doesn't define me. It just means that I'm allowed to continue as long as I can. And I remember my Dr. Golan, the electrophysiologist, told me, he just says, like, if you still want to chase the, you know, being an Ironman or, you know, run that marathon, you still can, but you just have to realize that, you know, the atrial fibrillation could come back. But, you know, he gave me, he's like, yeah, we could just go back in and do our target other areas. But I think part of the research that I've been doing lately has been kind of helpful, because I'm still trying to figure out whether or not in the first ocean study, whether or not I actually got a double ablation or whether I survived just doing a single ablation, because I'm kind of curious, because so far I've been given the normal sinus rhythm since July of 2020. So I've been pretty normal sinus rhythm, shall we say, since January of last year. And I've been thankful for it. So it's been really great.
Yeah, you do. You mentioned that you're part of some research groups at the Heart Institute, and you always talk about the quality of the research and the quality of the care at the Heart Institute. I want to know why you're such an advocate of the Heart Institute. Like, what's so nice about it to you?
To me, I think when you think about the Heart Institute, you think it's just another hospital, but it's really different. To me, I found that every facet of the Heart Institute that I've visited and gone to, whether it be just going for a CAT scan or an MRI or visiting the cardiologist or even doing the stress test, you think it's kind of nerve-wracking. You get like the white coat syndrome and you're nervous, but mm-hmm. I've always been put at ease. The care has been always top-notch. They don't talk you down. They're always encouraging. And just seeing some of the volunteers who are there, they're always like super helpful. I've to this day, the only thing that I don't like about is probably the parking, but, you know, that stresses people out in general. But the Institute itself, I've had nothing but rave reviews of just being there, and the staff, the doctors, the nurses. In fact, when I was even going from a procedure, I actually know somebody from my hometown, Thunder Bay, Kristen, and she sent the chief nurse, I guess, or the head nurse that was looking after me at the cath lab, she said, I have a message from Kristen. It's like, really? I was like, is she here too? Like, because, you know, there's a team of doctors and nurses kind of looking after you before you go in for the ablation. And she had a good message to send to me. So it was reassuring that, you know, I actually knew somebody other than, you know, some of these strange people that are in this cath lab. And it's like, they're going to just like go in and barbecue my heart. But basically it's reassuring that I can know that I knew somebody that knows that I'm in good hands. And they were like, they're friendly. They were jovial, like even from the procedure and right up until the recovery. They took very well care of the patients. Like they knew how to pretty much give their heart on their sleeve to patients for sure.
Yeah, it is such a great team. I mean, other than the parking, it's true. The Heart Institute, honestly, everyone seems to be just so lovely and so nice and so like human, you know, like sometimes it's kind of hard for doctors to have that, but it seems like the Heart Institute is very good with that.
They are. They're very giving and caring for sure. They're a big provider to the community. And that's part of what I like about being in the Run Ottawa committee. I find the folks at the Heart Institute, they have their own little community. And it's nice to see that they like to provide that type of support, and, you know, through seminars. I've gone to some of the seminars, some of the stress management workshops as follow-ups as part of my rehab. And it's been great. And I've had nothing but positivity from just being in part of those groups.
Yeah. And Dan, you know, like I Googled you, you know, before the interview, and I saw so many stories, and I was so amazed. Like, you told your stories many times, you know, you had your blog and you're active on social media. Yeah. And I feel like telling your story is very important to you. And I want to know why. Why do you want to spread the word? You know, what do you want to tell? What's your goal out of all of this?
I think I probably told my story numerous occasions since being diagnosed. I think, you know, one of my friends on Instagram, Jane, she said that, you know, like when I told her, it's like, you know, I have this condition, I'm not too sure what to do. And she says, you know what, you should tell your story. And so I took her advice and I shared my story, and I was just overwhelmed by how many people. I was like, whoa, I had no idea. So it almost seemed like people needed to hear that someone like me, who's an avid runner, an avid athlete to do stuff. I'm not like your typical, you know, Boston Marathon and chasing unicorns or stuff. I just go out because I enjoy it. I use it as a stress release. And then when you're hit with a diagnosis like atrial fibrillation, because, you know, if you're not being active or healthy, you know, the main organ in your body, your heart, is kind of stop beating. So I had to kind of rethink and tell people that doing some of these endurance sports and pushing yourself is okay if that's what you're doing and you're healthy. But somebody like me who had gone in with just hypertension, and then all of a sudden you're given a diagnosis that you have an arrhythmia issue, you know, because when I tell people that, you know, I've gone in for heart surgery, they automatically think that, oh, you must have had, like, you know, you're on a bad diet, you need like a bypass, or you need like a stent put in. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My heart was beating erratically. I have zero, like, my cholesterol is great. My blood work is usually pretty good. I have nothing like any of the things that, you know, an average person that you would think have a heart problem. And people think when, say, you know, coronary artery disease, you automatically think that, you know, his arteries are blocked or something. No, it's just that, no, the electrical signals, my heart, were not working collectively. They were just sending all the wrong signals. The upper chambers of my heart were just beating so erratically that, you know, something could happen. Like, something could dislodge and I could, you know, send something and have an aneurysm or worse, that stopped the blood flow. So people kind of needed to hear that somebody like myself that is so active, it could happen too. So I'm part of my, I guess, mission, providing that kind of support onto my blogs or even on my social media through my Twitter or Instagram, is kind of sharing my experiences. Like, you know, it's okay to, you know, push yourself, but just be mindful of what's going to happen if you do. So there's a bit of give and take. You know, some people who are just gifted and they're just pushing themselves, you know, we talk about some of those athletes that are Olympians and they can push themselves. But for me, just an average person, you would think that, you know, it's fine. But for me, I thought that to share my experience as somebody in the running community, you know, I'm not your typical, you know, skinny runner that, you know, is able to run, you know, marathons after marathons, but I'm still out there chasing those milestones and experiences just like others. It could be that, you know, I'm just the back of the pack runner. Totally fine with that. I can be a turtle runner and I can still finish because, you know, I'm still, as most people tell me, I'm still lapping those people who do the Netflix marathons on their couch. And hey, I'm still one or two steps ahead of them.
I love that so much. And like, you know, your story like kind of like reminds us, and it kind of like made me realize, you know, like those, like, health is so important. Like the checkups you do with your doctors are so important, you know, like you can't overlook those things. And it kind of makes you realize that you never really know, right? So it's good to go see those checkups to make sure everything's okay, because sometimes, like you don't have any symptoms, right? You could have never known you were the picture perfect, you know, you ran, you should have been okay. So I think it kind of like reminds us of that.
I remember I was at one of my Orange Theory classes, and one of the I call them athletes because they all are, and because they're all younger than I am. So she came up to me and she says, I want to talk to you about your heart condition. I'm saying, okay, sure. What do you want to know? And she says, well, I think I'm having something similar. And I had to share something. So Cassie asked me, you know, like, you know, what was it like? You know, what are you doing? Because I'm feeling something's wrong with my heart. And so I said, you know, go get yourself checked out. Like you're saying, like, you know, don't dismiss if you're not feeling right, you know, get yourself checked out, see your doctor. They could either prescribe your medication or you can, you know, get a Holter monitor just to see what's going on with your heart. And so she ended up, I can't remember what her actual diagnosis was, but eventually she got seen, she got put on the right medication. Maybe she had to get some adjustments like I did, you know, when you're first diagnosed, just to kind of, you know, tweak what it is you're doing. But, you know, like a year later, I find out she's doing better. And all of a sudden she gave birth to twin girls this past December. And I'm like, what? It's like, so you went from somebody who had, you know, like a heart condition, all of a sudden you gave birth to two girls. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I just kind of gave her kind of that incentive to go and get herself checked out in a way, because she said that I shared my story and she wanted to talk to me. She wanted to, you know, relate to an experience. And it's kind of helpful to kind of, you know, learn and provide that kind of support that most people don't usually get, because when you think about people from sport, you think, you know, oh, it's just some old person's disease. And it's like, well, no, not really. It's kind of a lot more common than you think in a lot younger people these days.
Yeah, I want to conclude with one last question.
Sure.
What would your message be to the community in terms of what we need to do to have more and better science?
Ooh, that's a very open-ended one. I think the better awareness campaigns is one thing. I think the Heart Institute is doing a real good thing by empowering us. I think part of the Hunt for Hearts 21 has been really positive, I think. I think it's been probably something fun for people to do to bring that awareness. Like I said, it was having fun with it. But, you know, I take my spin on my Instagram and post some very peculiar kind of out of character videos, or maybe even just posts, you know, shamelessly promoting the Heart Institute Foundation. But at the same time, I'm trying to have fun with it and saying that, you know, I'm still here. I can provide that that platform for you to try and convey that from a person who was an avid endurance athlete. You know, that's something that I'd like to make sure that people are aware that don't dismiss any sort of heart ailments or just even general health complaints. If you're feeling like uneasy, you know, if you feel like your heart's, you know, racing and you're not sure, just ask your doctor for a quick follow-up. You know, just even go to the local drugstore and, you know, stick your arm in the blood pressure machine, take your readings for, you know, a few days and just to see how you go. It's, you know, you got that, you've only got one heart and you might as well make the best of it. And part of my mission these days now is just to kind of share my experiences and let people know that, you know, it's not going to go away. The Heart Institute, the science just keeps getting better, and I'm hoping the technology keeps getting better and people don't have to, you know, go for, you know, long procedures. Maybe the procedure for an ablation might be shortened from the time that I did it. Although I do have to be thankful, that's probably one of the best sleeps I've had, being under, having that done. But at the same time, the recovery was one of the tough parts. So maybe the recovery is better. So I'm hoping that people will find that not going to the hospital is not a bad thing. It was a positive experience for me because it gave me a second chance at doing the things that I enjoy.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it was awesome.